Amen.
Isaiah chapter number 62, verses 1 through 5. The God who gets it done. All of us here tonight, we all find ourselves in tight places. Squeezed between the mortgage and medicine. Squeezed between whether or not we go to the gym or we go to church. Squeezed as to whether or not we spend time with our spouse or our children. In life, we all find ourselves squeezed. The God that we serve is indeed a God of our tight places. So when it's tight in your life, it's just right for your God. And because it's right for your God, what you need to understand about Him is He'll never lead you wrong. It's impossible for God to lead you in the wrong path. God sometimes will allow us to go in the wrong path because that's the choice that we've made. But even when we choose that, we may walk away from God, but God would never walk away from us.
Amen.
If you want to know what happened to God, what happened to the fire, the burning, the passion that you had for God, you go back to the place in which you last had contact with God. I remember this old song. The song goes something like, "Take me back to the place where I first received."
Yeah.
See, because when you first receive God, you're in a place of being open and say, "Here, God, here I am." The older we get in the body of Christ, the more we become disconnected from God because we begin to treat God like our neighbor. Oh, I know him, so I don't have to really respect him. I know him, so I know what he's about. I studied him, and I can't learn anything else about him. But God is not our neighbor. God is our God.
Amen.
And so what God wants us to do, God wants us to pray to him, not just because he is God, but the prayer is to establish a relationship with him. So the purpose of prayer is to bring us into a oneness with God. The oneness that we come into God is through us communing with God. Communing meaning to come into union, to be one with God. In order for us to be one with God, we have to step outside of the body, step into the spirit, because God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So God is always looking for us to step out of the natural into the supernatural, and that's how God communicates with us. The communication is in the form of prayer. Prayer is not me telling God anything. Prayer is when I repeat back to God what he said about me and my destination, then waiting for God to tell me or to instruct me how to go about doing it. If you want to know how God is going to bless you, you first have to be still to listen to what God is saying.
Right.
So often in life, God will not speak as long as your cell phone is going off. As long as you're receiving an email and a text and everybody else is talking in your ear, God is saying, "You're not listening to me." So God will move, and when God moves in a place, and in that place, he'll allow us to run the wrong course. When we get there, we'll discover that we need to hear from God, and the friend can't do for me what God can do. And then as soon as I get there, then I turn back to God, and God says, "I'm right here."
All right now.
So the prophet Isaiah finds himself in a place where he says, these people are not listening. And so because the people are not listening, self included, he says, we need to talk to God. We need to pray. We need to tell God what we are doing in the form of confession. Not tell God and order him to do something. Now, that doesn't mean that you cannot tell God what you want. Because what you want, when you're in a oneness with God, I'm only going to ask Him for what He promised me. And so the way to make God answer your prayer, I'm aware of what I just said. The way to make God answer your prayer is to tell God what He told you.
Yes.
So I'm really not making God do anything. I'm just saying to God, I trust what you said the first time. And the first time you told me, by your stripes I'm healed. I'm just telling you what you told me. You told me in the midst of going through something, you will supply all of my needs. I'm just telling you what you told me. You told me you'll never leave me, never forsake me. I'm just telling you what you told me. And so when I begin to repeat back to God what God said to me in His Word, God says, you got my attention because I said that.
All right.
Thank you, Lord.
When God speaks something, God is speaking it so that we can tell Him what He said. See, God is not some man, some old man in heaven who just needs somebody to talk to, who just needs to mess up your day and let you have 3 flat tires and let somebody break your window. God is not bored up in heaven. He's not just sitting there saying, well, what am I going to do today? Everything that happened in your life, whether you count it good or bad, notice I said count it good or bad, God has a purpose in mind.
Yeah.
Even the stuff that you did that was so crazy, God says, but all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and that is called according unto His purpose. So even though we do crazy stuff, God says, I already knew that and I got a plan for that.
Yeah.
All right.
See, sometimes we find ourselves going through something and we say, you know what? I did this, I'm the cause of it, and God is not going to deliver me. It is when you do stuff and you really understand that you crazy and you did it, that's when grace steps in. As long as you think I'm right and they're wrong, grace cannot abound there because your ego is too big. So God has to put you in a place where He says, let me show you you, and when you see you, then you'll see my grace.
Yes.
Now the grace of God is unmerited favor.
Mm-hmm.
Unmerited favor means that I did not deserve it. I cannot earn it. God simply gave it to me because of His Son, Jesus Christ. See, we celebrated Easter, and now that Easter is over, the question becomes, what do you do with Jesus on the cross?
All right now.
See, this is where the disciples were. Jesus had ascended up. And so here they're stuck and saying, well, I can't see Jesus anymore. What do I do? Peter said, I'm going fishing. And so everybody else went fishing with him. Just because you can't see Jesus, you can't see God, doesn't mean that He's not alive. He is still alive. He is still a deliverer. He is still a Savior. He is still amazing grace. He is still everything that He has ever and will always be.
Thank you, Lord.
So the prophet Isaiah, now remember that the prophet Isaiah, prophet means one that proclaimed the gospel. Now look at chapter number 62, verse number 1. Chapter number 62, verse number 1. Read that verse, please.
For Zion's sake, will I not hold my peace?
Listen to what he says. He opens up with this is a prayer. And so what he says about God is, for Zion's sake. Now, the word Zion here means the universal church. All of the churches together. Zion, churches, all of them. He says, for Zion's sake, will I not hold my peace? In other words, he says, I won't shut up because the church is still in need. When the church discover that the church is still in need, then the church will come together on one accord. The problem with the church today is we have a church over here that is disconnected from the church over there that is disconnected disconnected from the church over there because you may do something in your worship service that we don't do, so you must be on your way to hell. Listen, God can use whatever, however, whoever that he wants to. And we're still looking at this way of doing it and that way of doing it. When we stop inviting God in, we should be in a place at a church where it doesn't matter the order of service. When the Holy Spirit steps in and say, move, boy, let me have my way, you simply step down and say, God, have your way. Because God knows how to reach everybody. Therefore, God is a God of order, but you better let him set the order, not you. When you begin to set the order, it becomes tradition.
Amen. Amen.
For Zion's sake, will I not hold my peace? In other words, what he is saying is this. Because the universal church is in need to come together. He says, I, the prophet, won't shut up. I won't shut up until, and that's where we have to be in our prayer life. I won't stop calling on you, God, until you bless me. I won't stop calling on you, God, until you move my mountains. I won't stop calling on you, God, until you give me a job, until you deliver me, until I'm healed, until my finances is right, until my relationship is restored. God, I'm going to keep on calling on you. I'm going to work your nerves until you answer my prayer.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord.
Keep reading, please.
And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest.
Now, wait. He says, for Zion's sake, I will hold my peace. For the church, the universal church, I will hold my peace. But for Jerusalem, Jerusalem is the individuals in the church. He's talking about you.
Yes.
Not your neighbor. Not the universal church. He says, I'll do this for the church, but I still got something for you with your name on it. That's why you don't have to worry about people stealing your blessings, blocking your blessings, prolonging your blessings. Because he says, Jerusalem, I got something with your name on it. And if your name is not Tony, you can't have it. If your name is not Barbara, you can't have it. If your name is not Alice, you can't have it. But what God has for you, ain't nobody stopping. So you might as well begin to praise him today, because God has something with your name on it. They may not like it, but they still can't stop it. Because the favor of God jumps over what they like and don't like, because God says this blessing has your name on it. Don't spend your time worried about your haters.
Thank you, Lord. Until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp.
Until the righteousness goes forth as brightness. In other words, he's saying, not only will I bless you, but when I bless you, brightness refers to the anointing and the Shekinah glory of God in your life. He says, I'll bless you so good, other people see me in you. I'll take you who make $8 an hour and make you pay your bills and have some leftover so somebody can see the God that I serve. You thought it was about you, but God kept opening doors because and say, you know she gonna fail. You know he ain't gonna make it. And God says, not my child. They gonna make it and then have overflow. That's the brightness. The brightness is when you're going through something and folks see God in your life. Can't figure it out. Can't put their hands on it. Wonder how you living there. How you paying there. How you keep going. And somebody just don't understand. And it had not been for the Lord that was on my side. You keep trying to count my paycheck. You better count my blessings. You keep trying to look at my employer. You better look at my dad. Keep reading.
Thank you, Lord.
And the salvation.
And the Gentiles.
And the salvation. Verse 1.
And the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth.
And the salvation, he says, what's going to free you is my glory. Then I'm going to take you and put you like a burning lamp.
All
than other folk. Where folk come to you. Until I know that don't like you. And so you know I don't like you and I lied on you. But tell me how you're making it. Because I know I just pay more than you. But you always got overflow. So God is saying now you are the lamp. People are looking at you. And when the lamp comes about, he says, I just light up your pathway. You see, other folk doing it, they making all kind of mistakes. But God says, I'm ordering your steps. And when I begin to order your steps, baby, you can look out. He says, I'm going to order them in a way where you're going to sidestep this, step over that hatred, step through that line. You must know what is going against you. It's going to prosper. Verse number 2. Let's go. Come on.
And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness.
And the Gentiles and the world, the sinners, is going to see your righteousness. Now, we understand that my righteousness is as filthy rags, but I get to hide within his blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, my righteousness is him, not me. So when the world look at you, they'll see the righteousness of God being manifest in you. Keep reading.
And all the kings thy glory.
Listen to this. And all the kings what?
Thy glory.
So not only will the people, your haters, see it, notice, he says the kings, in other words, those that are in positions of leadership in the world, they'll see you and say, how you doing there? It's not enough for your enemies to see it. He says, I'll take the leaders, kings, I'll take the leaders of this world and I'll show them that I can do so much with just this, just you, an old educated thing from South Columbus, an old educated thing from Mississippi, Alabama. Don't have a formal education. Your parents were on that side of the track, but one day you fell down, submitted to me, and I turned your life around because my favor is not fair. Don't look at a piece of paper, a resume, and try to figure out a child of God. Because you're missing every time. You're trying to look at what college. Baby, the college that I went through was a school of hard knocks. God took me through something. And he's the God that gets me through. Keep reading.
And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name.
Thou shalt be called by a new name. They're not going to call you stupid and ignorant and broke and poor and all of these names. God says, I'm going to give you a new name.
All right.
Now remember the Bible says, I'll make your name great. Already he showed you that I'm going to take you in front of your haters, beyond your haters, in the positions of kings and queens, and people will see you. He says, I'm going to make your name great. Your name means a lot to your destination because it is in your name that your nature is revealed. That's why you got to be careful what you call people, because whatever you call me, if I'm stupid enough to answer to, that's what I believe I am. You may call somebody else poor, but baby, I'm not poor. Let me tell you what me and my daddy got. You may call somebody else just an outright liar, but let me tell you about me and my daddy. You got to be careful not what they call you, but what you answer. What you answer to is important. Keep reading.
Thou shalt also be a crown of glory.
There should be what?
A crown of glory.
Now you got to read that again because we're going to turn right here. Read again.
Thou shalt also be a crown.
Thou shalt also be a crown of glory. That's what your Bible says, right?
Yes.
Now, the implication is that if you are a crown of glory, somebody else must be a crown of glory too. Because if not, he would have said that you are the crown of glory. But he says, hey, the prophet Isaiah writes in 28:5, he says, Jesus is a crown of glory. Now he says, you are a crown of glory. In other words, you are created in the image of God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. So there you go, acting like your dad. There you go, don't have a dollar in your pocket, but you believe it, that your dad is going to be.
place.
Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand.
Diadem. There we go. He says, you are a crown of glory. Diadem, it means a headband. In other words, he says, I've already put a crown on your head. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to take a special headband and just wrap it around your head. Yeah. I'm going to double crown you. Yeah. I'm going to give you double for your trouble. Yeah. I know you've been through hell. I'm going to pay you twice because my favor is not fair. Now, the purpose of it was to pin other self on it. It has to do with a headband that is able to cuff other things. So not just one crown, but I can put some pearls over here and some diamonds over here and then some platinum over here because I got a lot of stuff for you. Keep reading.
Thou shalt no more be turned, forsaken, neither shall...
Thou shalt no more be what?
Turned.
And I would turn. No more should people describe you or use the word forsaken. Well, you know, Gloria, she don't have anything. She poor. He says, no more. He says, never again. Never again will people call you forsaken. No lies whatsoever. He says, now, because you're coming back to me, I'm moving you into a place of overflow. I'm moving you into a place of abundance. And he says, or you says, well, God, how are you going to do that? Because I don't have nothing. He says, give me what you got. You got two fish? Give me two fish. You got five barley loaves? Give me that. And let me take it and let me present it to my father. And say, Lord, this is all we have. Let me see what you can do with it. In my hand is two fish and five loaves. In his hand is a miracle. In his hand is a blessing. In his hand is overflow. In his hand is supernatural. Keep reading.
Neither shall thy land anymore be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah.
Hephzibah has to do with I delight in you.
Thank you, God.
I love you so much. In order for people to see me, you got to let me have you. My delight is in you. So every time people say, you blessed, you just got something new. What they're saying is that his daddy just did it for him. It has nothing to do with you. It has to do with God saying, let me delight in you. So when you pray and say, God, do this, he says, if you get in line, allow me to bless you in the right place. Every time I bless you, even though you think you're excited, he says, I'm overjoyed because they see me doing a work in you. I want you to be in place. What we're asking God for, God is saying, if you just move right, just act right, I want you to have it. Keep reading.
And thy land, Beulah.
Remember when I started, I said the purpose of this whole prayer is because the people walked away from God. Yes. And so now the word Beulah means married. God is saying, you walked away from me, but now you come back. He says, we're still married. You know, the Bible says that God is married to the backslider. They just backslid, but God's saying, you want to come back in union with me? We're still married, just like it never happened. Don't even worry about what you did to me. Don't even worry about your unfaithfulness. He says, come on back. I still love you. That's what God does for the church, the universal church. He says, you're not always faithful, but just come on back in relationship with me. Because Beulah, he's saying, we're married. Keep reading.
For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee.
For as a young man married a virgin. In other words, when you get married, you look for someone that is innocent. Now, how can God say that I'm innocent when he just told me that I was disobedient, unfaithful, and now I'm coming back, he marries me, and now he starts talking to me about innocent? No, God, you don't know me, because I lost my little innocent long time ago. And he says, I'm a God of a second chance.
Thank you, Lord. All right.
I won't physically clean you up, but spiritually, I'll touch you in a way. And I can do more with my spirit than I can with you in the physical. See, sometimes we look for God to do something in the physical, and God says, I already touched you right there. I already forgave you right there. I already blessed you right there. Just reach out, receive it, and keep on going. Don't worry about what they say about you, what I said about you. I just want you to pray the promises that I said. Keep reading.
I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem.
Watch this. I have set watchmen on the walls. Now, what he is saying is that I have some people that is standing on the wall. When he says standing on the wall, it's a reference to a wailing wall. A wailing wall is a wall that you stand on to pray.
All right.
I'm not chilling out. I'm on the wall. I'm praying. I'm on guard.
Yes.
This is my duty station.
Yes.
When you understand that where you are now is your duty station, and you on the wall because you're a soldier in the army of the Lord, and you understand that the watchman that he's referring to is his prophet. The prophet or prophetess is anybody that proclaims the name of the Lord. So when you begin to tell somebody about God, he says you're on the wall. I wish you got that, because if you got that, you understood that God has chose you to stand on the wall, to be in front, to be a blocker and a shield. Let me say it like this: to intercede for a weaker person behind you. He says, I trust you so much that I know that you know my promise, and I know that you're going to pray my promise. And so anybody that is behind you, they're going to be blessed because of what you're doing on the wall. In other words, what he says, because you're on the wall, not only are you praying, but you're standing watch. You got to watch now, because the king is coming.
Hallelujah.
Look at the signs of the time. He says, when you pray, your eyes are closed, but your spirit is open.
Yes.
So you see the signs that say the king is coming. What am I interceding? I'm interceding that you may be saved, but what I'm proclaiming is that time is running out.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
So he says, because time is running out. Keep reading verse number 6, please.
Which shall never hold their peace day or night.
Listen, he says the watchmen shall never hold their peace. In other words, at all times, somebody in the earth needs to be praying to God.
They never
hold their peace. We need to be a church where all the time somebody, somewhere is praying. Keep reading.
I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace, day or nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence.
Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. In other words, he said, don't let anybody shut you up. Then let me not talk about them. Don't you shut yourself up.
That's right.
I'm going through something, and the first thing we do, well, I don't know if I can trust God. So we stop coming to church, and we miss Wednesday night. Then we miss Sunday. Well, I can miss it again. And another Wednesday night, and another Sunday. And Satan, one-on-one, he begins to tear you up. When you're going through something, you need to come into union with like-minded believers.
Yes.
That's why the Bible says, forsake not thyself of the assembly
of yourselves.
Assembly. saints. All of us. See, because when you're going through something by yourself, you can't do it. You can't do it. Now, I know that we didn't read this, but I want you to read verse number 7 in conclusion.
And give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise
listen,
to the earth.
Listen to what he says. He says, when you begin to go through something,
I know he's right.
He says, give God no rest.
All right now. Hey. Mm. All right now.
Watch this. He said, I never sleep. I never slumber. Let me see. Because I'm going through something and I can't sleep either. I might as well tear your name up. Jesus, 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 all night long. And the Bible says, give him no rest. Give him no. He says, I invite you to call on me. I invite you to trust me. And so when you're going through something, just begin to call upon the name of Jesus. Early in the morning, Jesus. Late at night, Jesus. In the noonday, Jesus. It doesn't matter. He says, just call on the name of Jesus. When you pray, we understand prayer brings us into union.
Yes.
What we also understand is that God has promised us some things. Even though he promised us some things, you still got to pray for him. You still, he invites us. He says, don't let me sleep. I told you I didn't. Just call on me. I don't want to keep calling on God for the same thing. I don't care. I prayed about it and I turned it over to him. I'm not taking it back. I'm just echoing what I already told him. So all day long, I'm telling him what he told me. The Bible says that we should pray without ceasing.
Yes.
It has nothing to do with words coming out of your mouth. It has to do with your spirit.
Yes.
He said you should be in the spirit of prayer at all times. And so you're going through something, good days, bad days, you need to be praying. God, what do you want me to do? God, order my steps. God, direct me. God, what do I say? God, when do I hold my tongue? God, what do I do? And so in the midst of it, he says, just wear me out.
Yes.
I invite you just to wear me out. What an invitation God gives us. But that invitation only stands if you are Jerusalem, a child of God.
That's right.
As we close tonight, I want to speak to that person that is here tonight that is not a child of God. I'm not talking to you that is not a member of a church. That's fine. I'm talking to you that is not a child of God.
All right.
Because the church cannot save you. Your relationship with Jesus Christ is the only thing that can save you.
All right, man.
As we're standing tonight in this place, if you are here tonight, you're not a child of God. If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to turn everything, to include your life, over to God. If that's you tonight, just take a step of faith right where you are.